Certainly is a great blessing to be here again this morning and appreciate the good humble prayer and the introductory remarks, and so thankful to get to be here in this place. You know, when I've not been an old Baptist all my life, and I grew up in another order, and I came to love the doctrine and the truth as taught by the Primitive Baptist. But you know, that's not the first thing that attracted me to the old Baptist church. The first thing was the love that I felt. I love that scene when Naomi and Ruth have come back from the land of Moab. They come back to Bethlehem, Judah. The Bible said that the whole city moved about them. I believe in love and compassion. You know, I felt that love and compassion here in homes. And as we've been blessed to worship and to fellowship together, what a tremendous blessing that is. You know, that love doesn't come from the world. That love's heaven made. Not made in China or even the United States, but it's heaven made, and it comes from the Lord in heaven. I hope we're all thankful to it. I appreciate Brother Chris so much in his ministry, and appreciate Brother Jerry and his faithfulness and his ministry. He's been a good example, and he and his family have been very precious to us for many years. And when I think about examples of faith, I think about him being faithful to leave where he was used to and things that were familiar and family that was very close to come to a place that the Lord would show him. And I appreciate his faithfulness and his example in that. Be the Lord's will, I invite you to turn to the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. I want to begin in verse 20. It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. The world has a very different view of the family than what the Bible would teach. The Lord has ordained a certain authority in the family. He's ordained that the husband is to be the head, and that wives or submit themselves unto their husbands. That doesn't mean that the husband is to be a dictator. That doesn't mean that the husband is to rule with an iron fist, but it sets up an authority structure for the home. I've had some jobs where I actually thought I had too many bosses. Have y'all ever had a job like that? And you know, you got one boss telling you to do one thing and one boss telling you to do another, and you just end up extremely confused. I always tried to do what the highest boss said, you know. I saw a sign coming down here that said the real Supreme Court is in heaven. You know, that's true. Above all the judges of the earth, we have the judge of heaven. And that's true. You know, I remember watching some shows when I was a little kid, and they would be some of the dinosaur shows and different kinds, and they'd always have one particular monster that was called the two-headed monster. And you know, the two-headed monster, one head wanted to go this way, and one head wanted to go that way, and it was constantly wrestling with itself. And really, that monster really had a terrible existence because both heads were wanting to go different ways, and it was just a terrible thing that that monster went to. You know, God didn't ordain the family to be a two-headed monster. God ordained the family to have one head. It says the husband is the head of the wife, as even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. You know, I've asked congregations from time to time, is the church a democracy? You know, we meet together in conference, and most things that the church as a body decides, the majority decides. So is the church a democracy? And I say no, and 1,000 times no. The church is not a democracy. The church is a kingdom. And Jesus Christ is King. Jesus is the head of the church. And you know, when we make church decisions, it doesn't matter what I want. It doesn't matter what Brother Chris wants. It doesn't matter what you want. It matters what the Lord Jesus Christ wants. You know what our job to do is to bow down upon our knees before a holy God and say, Lord, what would you have us to do? Lord, show it. Lord, open our eyes. Lord, reveal it unto us and help us to be obedient unto it, Lord. Not our will, but thine be done. That's the way a healthy church is to operate. You know, Christ is the example of the head. He's the example. And as we go throughout these scriptures, I'm going to stand before you in ways where I can genuinely say, I feel like I've been a failure as a husband and as a father in many ways. And it's because our standard that we look to is not the best husband or the best father we know in the world. But our standard is the perfect standard, the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect head, the perfect husband. When I compare myself against his perfection, I realize how greatly I've failed as a husband and as a father. What kind of head is the Lord Jesus Christ? What kind of husband? We're already beginning to see the picture painted here in Ephesians 5 that the husband is the Lord Jesus Christ, the head, and that the bride, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the head as the husband, and the church as the bride. What kind of leader is Christ? You know, husbands, we're to be leaders. What kind of leaders are we to be? You know, Christ is a servant leader. You remember what the Bible tells us in Philippians? It said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Why? Because he is God. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ, though he's creator of all, yet he's a servant. He's a servant. He's a head. He's a husband that's a servant. He's a husband that shows unconditional love for us, the church, His bride. That's so perfectly illustrated. You know, Lord being with us, we'll have communion in the Lord's Supper later on today. And I love that scene there in John 13, which right before the Lord Jesus was going to wash His disciples' feet, said, having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them until the end. He had an unconditional love for His bride. It wasn't based on how good they were, but it was just based on His love itself. You know, I trust that later on today, when we get to the foot washing portion of the service, that we'll bow down at each other's feet and we'll wash each other's feet in love and compassion. We'll be washing each other's feet thinking that if one of us needed the other one later on today, that we would be there for each other. But you know, the Lord Jesus knows all. And He knew that in the next few hours, after bending down as a slave, as a servant, to wash the disciples' feet, He knew that within hours, these men that He would wash their feet would all forsake Him and flee away. But His love was unconditional. His love never ended. His love was without fail. And I'm going to tell you, husbands, that's the way we're to love. That's the way we're to love our wives. That's the way we're to love our children, unconditionally. We love them when they do right, and we love them when they do wrong. We love them unconditionally. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. He's the deliverer of the body. He's the protector of the body. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the church is really compared to the human body. And Christ is the head. And it talks about all the members of the body, how every member is important. You know, I don't want to do without any of my earthly members. What about you? You know, I'm told if somebody was to cut off my big toe, somebody may see my toe in the foot washing service today, but I'll tell you, not many people see my toe too much. Not many people think about Mark Quarles' toe. But I'll tell you, if you cut it off, I'd fall flat on my face. That toe's important. Now, I'm going to tell you, every member of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is important. Amen. You know, the devil will try to tell us what you do doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you, what you do matters greatly. And there are people watching you. And people that may just do what you do. That's one of the things that scared me so much in the ministry. Is I've been pastoring Providence long enough that I've seen children grow up. I've seen children born. And those children I've seen born have now gotten up in age. And I'll tell you the reason it scares me, because when they think of what a pastor should be, when they think of what a preacher should be like, they think of me. I'm going to tell you, that scares me to death. Because I am a failure in so many ways. I'm not perfect. And I think, oh goodness. When they think of what a preacher is supposed to be like, I'm the only example they have. There are people watching us. You know, dads, our children watch us. They not only watch what we say, they watch what we do. And a lot of times what we do teaches a lot bigger lesson than what we say. If I tell my children we're supposed to be honest, we're supposed to be people of integrity, but if when we go to the zoo or some other attraction and I try to sneak them in like they're a child when they're no longer a child, No matter what I've taught them with my lips, what did I teach them with my actions? That money's a little more important than telling the truth. That's the lesson I've taught. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, I want us to think about the analogy for a moment of our bodies and of our literal head. The Lord said, husbands, you're the head. What do we have in our head? You know, we've got five senses in our body. And these five senses do a lot of things for us. They can give us a lot of enjoyment in life. I'll tell you, that sense of taste. I've enjoyed that sense as I've been here and I've gotten to eat the fish and the wonderful meal and the breakfasts and all the wonderful things we've had. I've enjoyed that sense of taste. You know, the Bible talks about taste. It said, taste and see that the Lord is gracious. That taste is important. But you know, our taste can be a protector. You know, if we taste something that doesn't taste right, that may seem like it's ruined or it's rotten, we'll do what? Spit it out. And there's a sense of our taste, it's a protection. Our eyes take in a lot of information. With our eyes, we can look in the face of our loved ones. Our eyes are in our head. Our mouth that tastes and is in our head. We can look with our eyes and see the beauty of the Lord's creation. And we can also look for danger to our family. Now, I'm going to tell you, our senses can help protect us. The head helps to protect the body. And we as husbands, we're to be a protector of our wife and of our families. We're a protector. We're the head. You know, there was something that happened to us a few years ago, and it really emphasized in my mind how important our senses are and how important our head is for our protection. I was sitting at my desk one night. My desk was right by our bed in the bedroom. Sister Emily had just laid down to go to sleep, and I was sitting there at my desk looking at something, and I heard a terrible loud noise. It almost sounded like an electronic transformer had just blown up right next to my head. For a moment, I was just stunned. I didn't know what it was. I had heard with my ears that's in my head this loud blast, but I didn't know what it was. Then I looked up at the ceiling with my eyes, which are in my head, and I see smoke coming out of the vents. Then with my nose, which is in my head, I smelled smoke. And I said, we've been struck by lightning. So I run up into the attic, and I see a fire blazing. Now, we usually think about our sense of feeling being here, right? And it is there. But we have a sense of feeling in our head. You know, on a cold day when I'm out trying to hunt deer and I'm trying to see which way's the wind's blowing, I'll turn my face in different directions to feel the blow of the wind upon my face to know which way the wind's blowing. I can feel in my face. And as I went up in the attic and I saw the blaze of that flame, I could actually feel the heat on my face. And I ran downstairs and I got a fire extinguisher. And I'm going to tell you, just as a practical tip, there's nothing spiritual in this, but it's a very practical tip. If you don't have a fire extinguisher in your home, get one. I ran up, and with that fire extinguisher, I was able to very quickly extinguish the fire. Very quickly. But I thought how valuable my head was in keeping my whole family safe that night. You know, husbands, we're to be a protector. You know, if we're not going to protect our families in this old world, who will? I'm not talking about the Lord. He's our ultimate protector. He's our ultimate husband. And by the way, if you're thinking here, well, Brother Mark, this is a sermon about husbands and wives where I'm just a little kid. This has nothing to do with me. Or somebody else may say, well, I'm a single person. This has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with all of us. Because one day we may be married and we need to know responsibilities. But you know, we're all, as born again children of God, we're all part of the invisible bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as members of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are part of the visible bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to see the beautiful lessons here that our Lord teaches. So there's a lot of protection in the head. Our sight, our smell, our hearing, our taste. There's a lot that can protect us in the head. And husbands, fathers, we're to be a protector of the family. And I'll tell you, Jesus is a protector of us. Some of the scriptures that old Baptists love the most are about the Lord protecting us and the Lord keeping us. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Here we're in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in the hand of God the Father. We're in a place of protection and security above any place on the face of the globe. We're safe in the hand of our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ was not only willing to risk his life for the bride, he was willing to freely lay down his life for the bride. And I'll tell you, husbands and fathers, we need to be willing not only we need to be willing to risk our lives and to be willing to give our lives for our families. We need to love them that much with that unconditional love of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Following the head and the husband that loves you unconditionally, that loves you beyond measure, that loves you with a love till death do us part. Said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. A love that's willing to die. A love that's willing to give the most precious things. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 3, we have some wonderful teachings. And I want to come back to Ephesians chapter 5. But for a few moments, I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste," which means pure, "conversation coupled with fear." Now there could be some sisters out here tonight that your husbands may not care about obeying the word as much as you do. What do? Somebody may say, well, you talk to them, and you talk to them, and you talk to them, and you talk to them. And if that doesn't work, you get to where the talking's up a notch, and we call that nagging. And you nag, and you nag, and you nag, and say, if I nag him long enough, maybe he'll do the right thing. Is that what this verse said do? said, without the word, without the world, while they behold. What's behold mean? Look, gaze, see. Your chaste, your pure conversation coupled with fear. Now, conversation there doesn't mean verbally. It means your manner of life. That is, your husband sees your good example every day and every night and every day and every night. Sees you trying to do what the Lord has said do, that it'll make a bigger difference than the talking and the talking and the talking, which can work into nagging. Says, who's adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning, a plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart on the inside, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Great price. Now, is that saying that women shouldn't try to look beautiful? No, I don't think it's saying that. But what it's saying is there's an inside beauty. And the inside beauty is even more important than the outside beauty. You know, I've always really enjoyed watching the Andy Griffith Show. I share that, I know, with Brother Ronald, because Brother Ronald Lawrence, we've talked about how much he enjoys watching it. There was one episode where Andy, as the sheriff, had been picked to be the judge of a beauty pageant. And all of a sudden, Andy became the most popular man in town. Because, see, the mayor, he wanted one of his daughters to win the beauty pageant. Opie wanted his little girlfriend to win the beauty pageant. And there were people coming to him from all over town saying, I want this one to win. I want that one to win. And Andy just found himself in a mess. So he gets up to the night of the beauty pageant, and it's time to announce the winner, and he doesn't know what he's going to do. But there was an older lady there that very selflessly every year would make all the outfits that were used in the beauty pageant. She just gave of herself, and she just wanted to serve. She wanted to do something for somebody else, and she wasn't thinking about herself. And Andy gets up there, and he gives a little talk on there's two kinds of beauty. There's outside beauty, and then there's inside beauty. And he winds up giving to this older lady, who was so selfless and who had shown such beauty on the inside. He said, I pronounce her the winner of this beauty pageant. I'm going to tell you, listen to me, young brethren, and listen to me, young sisters. There's nothing wrong with trying to find a wife or a husband that looks good on the outside. There's nothing wrong with that. I did that. I went for the whole package. I wanted the outside beauty and the inside beauty. There's nothing wrong with finding someone you find attractive. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm going to tell you what's even more important than the outside beauty is to find a woman or a man with inside beauty. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? I'm going to tell you, when we marry somebody, we are yoked together. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you see two oxen yoked together, I'm going to tell you, they're in it. They're right there together. They're right there close. And you know, animals are yoked together to work together. Matter of fact, later in this chapter, they go all the way back into quoting Genesis about how the husband and the wife, they twain are one flesh. That's yoked together, brethren and sisters. And we're to work together. Now, what would we do if one ox, we're trying to get a field plowed. I know we don't do it that way anymore. But we're trying to get a field plowed, and one ox is wanting to go one way and one's wanting to go the other. Well, we wind up with a mess. And I'm going to tell you, the way those yokes look, it winds up causing a lot of hurt. When one ox is going one way and one's trying to go the other, it hurts. So I'm going to tell you, listen, if you're not married and you're thinking about getting married, one of the things you need to do is pray to the Lord. Lord, if it's your will for me to be married, Lord, you send me the woman you have for me. If you're a sister, Lord, if it be your will for me to be married, it may not. The Apostle Paul talked about some of the advantages of being single. He talked about some of the advantages of being able to serve the Lord without any other distraction. Some people have that gift, and it is a blessing. But not all people have that gift. We're to pray, Lord, if it be your will for me to be married, Lord, send me the right young man you would have for me. You know the first wedding ceremony that ever happened? You know when it was? It's in the book of Genesis. You know who presided over it? God Almighty. You know who the father of the bride was? God. You know who the father of the groom was? God. God the Father. There in the Garden of Eden. God's the father of Adam. God was also the father of Eve. And God conducted the ceremony. You know who brought Eve to Adam? God did. Now I'm going to tell you, we need to pray to God, Lord, if it be your will for me to be made, Lord, you send me the one you have for me. And I'm going to tell you, under the authority of God's word, it needs to be somebody that loves the Lord like you do. It needs to be somebody that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're warned here. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I'm going to tell you, if you go for a pretty face or a handsome face that does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're destining your life for misery. Amen. Under the authority of God's word, I say that. That didn't come from me. That comes from the Lord. That comes from the Lord. So may we pray. May we look for that inside beauty. May we look for one that has that born again heart. It's like the Lord blessed us with. And that a heart can be knit together with their heart. I want to go down and look at verse 7. It says, likewise, this is still in 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. You know something, brethren? We didn't come into this world understanding women. Do you hear me? We didn't. And you know something else? Young sisters, older sisters, you didn't come into the world understanding men. You didn't. But we're to get an understanding. Under the authority of God's word, he said, you get educated. And we're not just to get agitated, brethren, about how women think and sisters how men think. That's not enough. We're to get an education about, I'm to get education about how my wife thinks. She's to have an education about how I think. But particularly it's given here to the brethren, to the husbands. It's our job to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. We are to learn how they show love, how they receive love. We're to learn what they like and what they don't like. We love them unconditionally. Remember, that's what the Lord Jesus does for us. He loves us unconditionally. You know our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, He knows how to show us love and to get to the inmost depths of our hearts more than anybody. He knows how sometimes in the darkest times of our life, when the trials and the tribulations of life have come upon us and we wonder, can I take one step in front of the other anymore? He knows how in those darkest times to, with one touch of His gentle hand, to get us in the depths of our hearts and bless us to feel the love of our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, as nobody else can. And we can be comforted and lifted up, even in the midst of our sorrows, and even in the midst of a storm of life. We can be granted peace by our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. He knows how to show us love. He knows how to get into the most deepest recesses of our hearts. I like that song, "One Touch of His Gentle Hand Can Strengthen the Faintest Heart. One touch of His gentle hand, divine new hope and love can impart. I'll not be afraid to go and bravely take my stand as long as I can feel His tender touch. The touch of His gentle hand." You know, husbands, it's our job to learn how to show love to our wives. I read a book one time, and whenever I look at this verse, I'm reminded of this book. And it was called The Five Love Languages. You know, for us to be able to communicate love as husbands and wives, we got to be speaking the same language. If I was up here trying to preach to you in Spanish, I don't know if anybody understands Spanish, but a lot of people would leave confused and said, "We don't know what that preacher was saying." You know, as husbands, sometimes we can be trying to show our wives love, but if we're showing them in a different love language than what they receive, we're speaking Spanish and they only understand English. Part of our job is to understand how they give and receive love. In that book by Gary Chapman, he mentions different ways. Some people show love by deeds of service, by doing things for one another. And we generally try to show love to others by the love language that we favor, when we really need to be showing love to others by the love language they favor. I know what Sister Emily's love language are, and I need to do a better job every day of fulfilling love to her in her love language. She likes quality time. She wants me, when I come home from work, to spend a little bit of time with her, just me and her communicating. And I need to do a better job at that. Sometimes I come home tired, and I've been talking to people all day long, and I'm tired of talking. But she needs that. If I want to show love to her, I need to be faithful in doing that. One of hers is words of affirmation, encouragement. Some people have love language of touch. And there's different love languages. But we're to learn what our wives' love languages are. And I'm going to tell you, wives, it's a good idea for you to understand how your husband gives love so that we might be speaking the same language. That's part of dwelling with them according to knowledge. I might be doing all kind of things for my wife service-wise, cleaning out the car, helping with housework. But if that's not her love language to me, I'm showing my wife all this love. She's not feeling it. That's not her language. We're to dwell with them according to knowledge. And look how important it is. Giving honor unto the wife is unto the weaker vessel. That doesn't mean inferior, okay? You know, I remember when we were, I grew up in a house with five kids, four boys and one girl. When we were all little, you know, you take our household into a store, you know, it could be havoc. Now, I remember Mom and Daddy, before we'd go into those stores that had all those precious things that cost a lot, like crystal and stuff like that, but they were easily broken. That's what I think of at this weaker vessel. Not inferior, but a very precious thing, but it's easily broken. Before we go into one of those stores, Mom and Daddy always give us a talk. I don't care what you do, kids, when you go in there, don't touch anything. Don't touch anything. Don't look at anything. It may fall. Okay. Why? There were precious things in there. They're easily broken. I'm going to tell you, husbands are, wives are precious things. They can be easily broken. They can be easily hurt, and we're to dwell with them according to knowledge and tender care. You know, our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, he can't be broken. Our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, has all power. He has all knowledge. You know, he knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows the intricate details of our life. The Bible tells us that our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, even knows the numbers of the hairs on our head. We don't know ourselves that well. And you know, husbands, we should be striving to know our wives so well that in some ways we almost know them better than they do. Our Lord does that. He's the example. Let's go back to Ephesians 6, and I'll try to bring my remarks to a close. Husbands, love your wives. This is verse 25. Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. I'm going to tell you, our Lord is so gracious, and our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, is so wonderful. I'll tell you, when he found us, he found us in a waste howling wilderness. There in Ezekiel chapter 16, the Bible describes us that he found us polluted in our own blood, that we were dirty and filthy with sin. That's how we were when the Lord found us. But I'll tell you, he loved us so much. He was willing to give his life for us on Calvary's tree. And I'll tell you, he washed us with water by the word. And I think that's the living word. He washed us. And I'll tell you, he took us from being putrid and filthy and dirty to now, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're without blemish, without spot. We're holy and without blame before him in love. We have no spot, we have no wrinkle, nor any such thing. But we've been made beautiful. You keep looking at Ezekiel 16. He's given us his beauty. He's given us his righteousness. We had no righteousness to plead, but he's bestowed upon us the garments of salvation and the robe of righteousness he's given to us. And though we were putrid and ugly, he's made us beautiful and glorious. I'm going to tell you, we are the focus of our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, attention. We were the joy that was set before him upon the cross of Calvary. And I'll tell you, he's been loving us from before the foundation of the world. When we were chosen in Christ, he's been loving us from everlasting, and his love will never end. He loves us unconditionally. He loves us forever, and his focus upon his bride. He views us as beautiful. Said, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. You know, it may not look like it, but you know, I did do some preparation to get here this morning. I take care of my body. I took a shower and washed up, and I had all kind of little things on my face called whiskers, and I shaved those things off, and I washed my hair, and pretty much every member of my human body, I was washing it and trying to take care of it. You know, husbands, we should take care of our wives. It's easy to think, well, I bring home the bacon, I supply financially for my family. That's not enough. That's not taking care of every part of our bride. That's not taking care of all of her. We're not only to take care of her financially, we're to take care of her emotionally. And we can struggle with that, husbands. I can struggle with that. The Lord takes care of all of us. He doesn't just provide for us materially. But our husband, the Lord, he takes care of every part of us. He takes care of the outside. And the Lord Jesus, our husband, takes care of the inside. We're to do that with our wives. It says we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. That was said in the Garden of Eden. Adam said, this is bone of my bones. She is a part of me. We are one flesh. We are together. You know, I'm a far better man because of Sister Emily than I would be without her. And I mean that in all the sincerity of my heart. I'm a better minister than I would have been. She'll pick up on little things. There could be somebody in the corner hurting and needing attention. You know what? I'll miss it. I won't even notice it. But she does. And we're far stronger together than we are separate. We're one flesh. Adam said, this is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. We literally, as the body of Christ and as the bride of Christ, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. We are in him, our husband. And what a blessing that is. I love in Psalms chapter 22, with this, the Psalm of the Cross. And there's a psalm in there where in prophecy of the crucifixion, where it said, I may tell all my bones. That word tell means to count. Kind of like a teller at the bank counts money. Said that I may tell all my bones. And I think that was physically true. I think the Lord Jesus had been so emaciated upon the cross of Calvary and so brutalized. Bible said he was marred more than any man. That means of all the people in the history of the world that had been brutalized and persecuted, the Lord Jesus was more so. I think as he looked down on his body on the cross, he could literally see the bones in his body. But I'm going to tell you, I think there's a spiritual application of that. You know who the bones of Christ are? We are. When he was on the cross of Calvary, he not only saw all the elect family of God as one big clump, he saw us individually. He was looking, and as he died upon the cross, he was thinking of you individually. He counted all his bones. We as the bride of Christ, he was looking at us and thinking about us and dying for us individually on the cross of Calvary. He's our husband. He loves us. And I'll tell you one sweet day, he's coming back for his bride. He's not going to leave us behind. Not one of those bones, not one will be left alive. Left behind. But I'll tell you, when King Jesus comes and the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, and he'll come with the voice of the archangel, he'll come with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I'll tell you, all the bride of Christ, that invisible bride, will be raised up to meet our husband face to face for Alba and Alba and ever, and he'll take us home. We'll be with him forever. Is there any more words that comfort the bride? Any more than that. May we be faithful, submitting to our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. May God richly bless you. It's my prayer.